A Problem Shared with Tony and Val on Kerry Today.
Yes, Tony and Val McGinley with us on the line for A Problem Shared. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Morning, listeners, and Jerry.
Good morning, Jerry.
Excellent. If you have any questions or queries in for Tony and Val, get them into us now on 0667123666. Now, a listener gets in touch and asks, why is it that when I'm lying awake in bed at night, I have all sorts of bad thoughts about myself and the future, yet I'm never bothered during the daytime with these sort of thoughts? What do we think?
Okay, I'll go first on this one. I remember when I was a kid, I used to suffer from toothache. We used to get a toothbrush as a Christmas present, listeners. And I couldn't wait for the day to arrive. And I think the reason is, with this listener, is by daytime I'm distracted. There's lots of different things I have to do. And there's a whole load of distractions, whereas by night it's quiet. So I would say to this listener, have a supply of what will distract you next to your bed and a lamp. And turn it on, sit up and turn it on, and whether it is crosswords or whatever, you know, readings or something like that. And occupy yourself with those until you feel tired enough to fall asleep again.
Okay, and that's the way to do it. Okay.
Tony, well, it's one of the ways to do it.
Sure. What do we think, Tony?
Yeah, at night time we go into a different mode, and when we're beginning to slip into sleep, the brain goes into a kind of a review. And very often our dreams, our half-awake dreams, are reviewing what we are going through in our lives. And that sort of thing happens even though we're still, as it were, conscious to a certain extent. My way of dealing with stuff like that is if there's consistent, negative thoughts about whatever, my job, my work, my money, my health, whatever, write down, keep it a note, pad by the bed, and jot down what exactly is bothering you. And then at a later stage, maybe 3 or 4 days later, review what you've written down. And it's a great way of dealing with those things that can be dealt with. There's a lot in life that we can't deal with, but it gives you some hold on it. And that's one way of dealing with it.
Would it be a possibility to examine, I suppose, if this happens, and we don't know how regularly it happens otherwise, that this might be something to do with some insomnia the person might be suffering from?
It could be. I mean, insomnia basically is, not being able to sleep for any length of time and waking up and not being able to get back. But it may not be that. It could be just, that drop-off period when you go to bed and there's a half an hour or longer for some people. Of half awake time, that's very often time that thoughts like that go through our heads. So it could be that as well.
Yeah. If it is insomnia, I think the listener needs to review what do they do before, say, from 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock on.
Yes.
Do they watch a lot of television? Which the Is it kind of blue something that
blue
they
screen,
call it?
Blue screen, yeah. And so social media or your phone or any screen of any kind, the recommendation is at least maybe half an hour before you go to sleep not to be engaged in that, because it keeps the brain worrying.
Coffee and alcohol, eliminate them or begin to eliminate them, So our food, if I eat a late meal, it can kind of, my system wants to digest it, and that digestion can cause me problems.
Yeah.
On the TV, there's another factor as well, which is what you're watching. And if you're watching some god-awful murder thing or whatever, it affects the brain. I mean, like it or not, we're affected. And that's one of the things that can put thoughts into the subconscious.
I think whether we're affected, whether we know it or not, I might think that doesn't affect me, but it does.
Yeah, certainly does. Okay, all right, that's an interesting one. The environmental factor is something to consider here as well. If you're lying awake and can't get to rest and can't sleep at night, okay, if you have a view, if you're in that situation, if you found a way out of it, Give us your views and your thoughts on 0667123666. Listener gets in touch with us with an interesting one, a serious enough one as well, Tony and Val. Jerry, can you ask Tony and Val what to do when you can no longer communicate with a partner? Is the relationship over?
Yeah, it is. That's a difficult one to put into three or four words.
Yes, and, yeah. And it depends how long the communication has been happening. Yeah,
you know.
All of those sort of things.
Yeah, if it's been going on for years and they hate each other and they've been to counsellors and so on and so forth, then maybe it's time to call it quits. But, you know, a partnership, a relationship is a very, very precious thing, and it's not to be broken easily. And I would say, like, if there's any hope, now, if they haven't had any professional help, then definitely go and seek it, because that can make a heck of a difference in many, many cases.
I would agree with Tony on that one. I don't think the relationship is necessarily over, listener. I think what can happen sometimes is what might need to figure out how I can communicate with my partner. Because sometimes, like, the way I communicate is not the way another person communicates, and vice versa, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I would kind of look at it, and I think that I would seek a neutral territory when I'm having these talks.
Yeah, yeah.
I would kind of say, like, out of 10... this is very important for me. This is a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, is that a central question, Val? You have to ask yourself the question they're asking, is the relationship over? I mean, they'll have to answer that in terms of, do they want it to be over? How long has it been going on for, and are they willing to fight for it?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that a question
they
have to ask themselves?
And as Tony said there, a relationship is very, very important. And I wouldn't be throwing it up very easily. Like, it's not. They say that, like, with divorces, I can. The statistics are that people regret them.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And I know that there's several remarriages.
It's down to expectations, really, with a lot of people, you know. And usually when there are divorces in the States, divorcees very often are second, third, or fourth time divorced.
Yeah, yeah, you can get on a bit of a treadmill in relation to it. And look, relationship breakdown, and this is a relationship, again, we don't know how long it's been going on for, and if there are children involved, or is that, it's very difficult for people to deal with. So, like as Val said, I suppose the key point, Tony, is don't let it go lightly. Examine every option and seek that professional help if you think it will help.
Yeah, well, you don't move out of your house if there's a slate off the roof.
Yeah.
Get someone to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing, as Tony mentioned, there is expectations. Like, I think, unfortunately, listener, we're in an age where the expectations are that I'm, in inverted commas, happy all the time.
Yeah.
And that things are working out for me and my partner all the time. I don't think that that's realistic, to be quite honest with you, in this modern age. I think we are victims of a modern age, very subtle kind of innuendo. And I remember years ago hearing a program about marriage breakup, and like someone said, if I'm not happy in it, if I wasn't happy in the relationship. I don't think that has anything to do with it, to be quite honest with you. And there might be listeners out there who totally disagree with me. I think we have to walk through problems and, like, look, as Tony said, at what my expectations are of a relationship, and are they actually realistic?
And
yes,
entitlements are the other thing, I mean, because very often people feel entitled to whatever, sex, you know, having my dinner on the table, that sort of stuff. They have to be examined a lot in relationships.
Yeah, examine what you're expecting, what you think is right, what you're before you walk away saying, oh, my partner just didn't understand me, and then you go into another relationship and you're facing the same problem, and the problem may be with yourself and how you are conducting your life.
Yeah. Very, very often it's a build-up over time, you know. it gets snottier and more and more caustic over periods of time, and then that bitch or that fella just will not listen to me anymore. And yeah. if it arrives at that point, it needs professional help.
And it's serious work. Okay, all right, interesting stuff. A good strong hot toddy before bed, you'll be snoring your head off, Val, says a listener. Well, you know, if it works for you, but that might not work for everybody, is what we'll say to that one. Anyone
and
else?
To be quite honest with you, listener, a lot of people, more and more people are not having alcohol.
Yes, yeah, they're giving up on it in terms of that. Okay, guys, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks so much for talking to us on the programme this morning. Tony and Val McGinley with a problem shared. Get your queries in for them for next week. We'll pass them on and have them for you next Wednesday morning.